We are on Perikov towards the end, and looking through my notes on former drushes, I don't think I ever darshened out on this Perik. It goes very quickly. You know, the story of Avram shows up in Avimelech. Avimelech takes Sarah. Hashem goes to Avimelech, tells him to give Sarah back. Avimelech gives Sarah back, complains to Avram, and Avram turns around and says, there's a good reason why I didn't have to trust you, and finally he daven for him, everybody's healed, and then we seem to move on. That seems to be the extent of Perek Chaf in Parshas Vayera. So just we have one very fast ha'ara that I came across from Rav Vital Radinsky, and then we'll get into the larger ha'ara, larger point that we can make over on this Perek. So when Hashem comes to Avram, to Avimelech, and tells him that you have to return Sarah, and this is in Pasuk Vav, Vayomri lav Elokim b'chalom, gam anochi yadati ki v'samluch ha'asis. Sorry, go to Pasuk Gimel. Vayavel Elokim el Avimelech b'chalom ha'layla, Vayomri lo hincha meis al ha'isha asher lakachta, right, you're with this girl who you'll die. Well, you're to die because of this woman. She's a married woman. Now, Avimelech says, "How could this be?" He told me that she is my sister, and Hashem says to him, "No. You're going to give him back." And in Pasuk Zayin says, "V'yata Hashem ishes ish ki navihu." You have to return this woman because she is the wife of a navi. Vayispilel b'yamcha v'chayei, and he will daven for you, and you will therefore live. Now this is an interesting line. Return her because she is a navi, and if he wasn't a navi, because he's a navi. So if he wasn't a navi, so he wouldn't have to give her back. What's going on? So we pointed out before that don't worry about Avram taking her back because he may be afraid. You may be afraid. Oh, he was not going to take her back because maybe he won't know that you didn't actually have relations with her. You didn't actually have an affair. No, he's a navi. He'll know you weren't with her. Right, we gave that shot before. But you have a little bit of a question, and that is, remember, this is the second time we're coming across the story. This is happening now that Avimelech takes Sarah, and Hashem comes to Avimelech and tells Avimelech to give the girl back to Avram. And it happened in Mitzrayim, where the same thing happened. Avram says, I have to tell you, you're going to say that you're my sister. Paro takes her. Paro is not able to have relations with her. He has to give her back. And she's sent back. And what does Hashem not say to Paro in order to encourage Paro to give the girl back? Kinavihu. Why all of a sudden here does he have to tell Avimelech you're giving her back because she's the wife of a Navi? While over there, you didn't. That is the question that is raised. So I saw in the Mishkan Betzal from Betzal Rudinsky just has a very quick ha'ara, a point on this. Then he says because something happened in the meantime. That was before the war with the four kings and the five kings. And at the very end of that war with the four kings and the five kings, so he had this story with Malki Tzedek, where Malki Tzedek says to Avram, you should be blessed, and Hashem is blessed. And the Gemara Nedarim says, well, stop right there. That was a big problem that Malki Tzedek did, because before you bless any individual, before you attempt to give an individual a bracha, you have to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a bracha. Hashem has to be the first one to have a bracha. We pointed out there's halacha ramifications to that. That is when somebody has a l'chaim in shul and you're giving a bracha by saying l'chaim, right? So the first you have to make a bracha of shahakal before you make the l'chaim. Yeah. And not only that, but you have a little bit more of a problem because if you say the bracha of shahakal, you can't just say l'chaim, that's what we call a hefsek. So you have to somehow have your shahakal taken care of, or have a little bit of a sip of the shahakal. Then you can say l'chaim and then drink the rest. Okay, but Malki Tzedek didn't do that. Malki Tzedek made a mistake. What happened to Malki Tzedek as a result? So the Gemara Nedarim says that Malki Tzedek, as a result of getting the brachos mixed up, lost his status as a Kohen. And who then gained the status of a Kohen?
Avram
became a Kohen in lieu of Malki Tzedek. Now, what is the special halacha for a Kohen that is unique? So there are many halachos specifically with a kohen about what they could and can't do, and there are certain restrictions on who a kohen is permitted to marry, and there are certain restrictions about who a kohen is permitted to remain married to. That if a normal, non-kohen male, his wife is married to a female, and she is is raped, so that's okay. She's raped, she's an anusa, and she's allowed to remain married to her husband. However, if a kohen's wife is raped, so she's an anusa, and she is not allowed to remain married to her husband. I don't know if this has happened, I don't know if cases where this has happened, but that is the halacha on the books. So with Avram and in Mitzrayim, so that was before Avram was a kohen. So Avram is going to take Sarah back. There's no Shiloh, he's going to take her back. All right, what's the big deal? So even if she was raped by Paro, she's coming back to her original husband. There's no issue. However, at this point in the story, Avram has the status of a kohen. If he's a kohen, he wouldn't be allowed to take her back unless he is a navi and knows for sure that Avimelech didn't have relations with her. So that is his aura. Huh?
Pretty straightforward.
You like it?
Yeah.
The only problem with it, a little bit, is that we generally don't trust prophecy for passing halacha. So how do you fit that into the story? But that is
true.
That would be for halacha day.
Fire the whole thing, white whole walls are falling.
That would be for a halacha day, not for a not for a Muslim day. Okay,
Muslim
so moving along on the is a little bit later on. The pasuk Yud Aleph. So what did you see that forced you to do this? Why did you lie? Why did you think that we were going to be immoral people? So Hashem responds, and Avram responds, Vayomer Avram, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki amarti rak in yiras elukim makom hazeh. I see that there is no yiras elukim. What is yiras elukim?
Fear
of God. So you want to translate Yira as fear of God. There are other translations. Rav Soloveitchik, I believe, used to translate Yiras Hashem as awesome respect. As opposed to fear that I'm constantly nervous and paranoid. All right? He meant awesome respect for God, but a great recognition of the all-powerful being. That's what we would call Yiras Elohim. There doesn't happen to be it's okay, we don't need
that. That would be a more inclusive view, some more adult inclusive view.
Okay, you would like that. All right, so more inclusive, actually you said a more adult view. You're okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what you mean. So that's what we mean by Yir Elokim. So Avram said, I saw that there is no Yir Elokim. How did he see that there is no Yir Elokim? So Rashi gives that chat because Avram gets to town and he gets asked, oh, by the way, what's the deal with the girl? Right? And Avram responds, she's my sister. Oh, right. They take her right away. So Avram says, generally people are not asked, what's the story with the girl? They're generally asked whether you're hungry or whether you're thirsty. And that was what indicated to me that you have a lack of Yiras Elokim. Yeah. So the Ali Shur, Revolpi, has two essays about 50 pages apart where he quotes this pasuk and develops a very interesting yisod. He develops a very interesting principle. And that is that if one looks in the Rambam, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the very, very beginning of the Rambam. So the very first thing that the Rambam writes in his Yad HaChazaka is Yisod HaYisodos VaAmud HaChachma Leida Shiyesh Sham Matzui Rishon. The main principle that one has to know in order to achieve or to establish wisdom is to know that there is a Matzui Rishon. What does it mean, a Matzui Rishon? An original being, an original creator, right? Hatkala Sahi Yediyah. And what is the beginning of that? The Yediyah of that. The knowledge of that. So what does it mean to have a Yediyah of that? What?
No, I'm listening.
What does it mean to have a Yediyah in understanding of that? So to recognize that there is a being that is much greater and much and is all powerful and controls everything, and to cause me, and I'm now afraid of it, and I have a respect of that. I have this feeling that what I do is being watched by this almighty being. That is the very first step, according to the Rambam, of recognition of God. And guess who has that first step? Says the Rambam, every being is commanded to have that first step. That is the first step to understanding of God that is then available to every person, whether Jew or whether not Jew. And in fact, he brings a couple of verses that this idea of Yiras Elokim is used to refer to non-Jews, or lack thereof is used to refer to non-Jews. So Amalek is listed as Lo Yarei Elokim. What was the problem with Amalek? They had no fear, or they had no respect of God. Abimelech, ki amarti rak ein yiras elokim b'makom hazeh. Avram says, I see there's no yiras elokim in this place. And all of the nations, shimu amin yirgazun, chil chazvei v'lashes, tipo aleihem imasa v'fachat, that will fall upon them this fear, that they will finally have a fear of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They will recognize that there is such a thing as a being called God. And says the Rambam, that's step number one. So Avram comes to town and says, I see you don't even have yiras elokim. You don't even have an understanding that there is this Almighty God, and therefore I have to be very, very nervous. Because if you don't have a recognition that there is this Almighty God, what are you liable to do? Kill me! And you're liable to do anything. Right? You have nothing binding you, you have no morals, you have nothing. And what the Ali Shur is saying is that is step number one, incumbent upon Jews and non-Jews. Incumbent upon...
Yeah.
It seems to be on now. Okay. Incumbent upon Jews and non-Jews. So that is our. So that is what Avram meant by telling Abimelech Yiras Elokim. So then he goes on to say. So if that's what's incumbent, if that's premise number one, then what is the next step? What is it that we have to do? So if one looks in the second parak of the Rambam in Yesodei Satorah, so the second chapter discusses looking it out and recognizing the amazing things that are created in the world and recognizing that they apply to me. Getting beyond the that there is this God that sees what's going on, but that there is a God that actually created everything and actually has a vested interest in all that is going on. And he... and getting involved with all the details of our lives. So where does that spell itself out the most? So he talks about the idea of Birkas HaMazon, the idea of brachos, the idea of a constant recognition, not just that there's this God out there that's going to punish me, but that all things that I do over the course of the day are reflective of and recognizing the fact that God is involved with that. So the idea of, so here is what he said, Yish gufa gub ochel b'shos v'yashm. I have a body, my body eats, drinks, and sleeps. Hamuna ina goresa sh'achriya ochel l'soveya nosin gam la'kadosh baruch hu chelko uvarchim birkas hamazon. So Das, or Yiras Elokim, would dictate to me, well, these are the rules. If you take something, you have to say Birkas HaMazon for it. That's what it means to have Yiras Elokim. What does it mean to have a greater understanding and greater closeness to God? El Lehefech. Emuna means, faith means, Hi'alfetes kol inyonei haguf lebeis hamedrash le'emuna. To flip around all things that I need for my body and use that for the beis medrash emuna, the understanding of faith. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu hayayachol livro es ha'adam mibili she'yitzarech le'achol. That Hashem could have created man without the need to eat. Right? Who says that I need to eat? Maybe Hashem could have created me in a way I wouldn't need to. Or Lishon, Hashem could have created me in a way that I wouldn't have to sleep. Or Velatzei Slitzarcha, where Hashem could have created me in a way that I wouldn't have to use the restroom. So rather, all of these physical activities that we do, says Rav Volbi, are now in the laboratory of Emunah. And I bring Emunah into those things. They become opportunities for me to recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in each and every detail of our lives. So therefore I make brachos in order to recognize that eating is now an opportunity to make a bracha. Going to the bathroom is now an opportunity to make a bracha. Sleeping is an opportunity to make a bracha. And it is an opportunity to recognize Hashem's presence in all these different aspects of our life. He has an interesting point here that he makes about the laws of brachos. That what is the greatest bracha? If I were to ask you to rank the greatest, all the brachos rishona, brachos that we make on foods, what is the greatest bracha? You want to say hamotzi? Why hamotzi? Hamotzi only covers one food.
Either if you do it, you don't have to make the other
ones.
Right.
So you're telling us you know the answer already. But his point is, if one would think about it, wait a second, shahakal includes a lot of foods. So maybe shahakal should be number one. And dhamma should be number two. And eat should be number three. But that's not how we see it. We see it as hamotzi number one, because it only covers one food. Hagefen, also, it only covers one food.
Bread is... Okay.
So, his pshat is that the more pratiyustik is detail-oriented, the bracha is. The more detailed the bracha is, the greater recognition I have of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in it. Now, I say the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, blessed is Hashem, who took the bread out of the ground. And that is a very detailed analysis of what Hashem does for us, as opposed to just saying Shahakol Nia Bidvara. Bracha Hashem, Shahakol Nia Bidvara. Everything comes from Him. Right, so that is a much further removed view. So why is Hamotzi the greatest bracha? Because that is the greatest recognition of the involvement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in our lives. So that is that's the first essay that Rav Volbi has to quote this Yisod, this idea.
It's also, I think one thing is, it's also the most man's involvement, because not only you say it comes from the earth, it's critical, it takes a lot of work.
Right, it takes a lot of work. It doesn't necessarily take a lot of work for us, as he points out. For us, it takes as much work to buy bread as it does to buy jelly beans. But if one takes a step back and realizes all the different steps that are involved, even from man's end, all the different steps involved, but then you focus it and you recognize it all goes back to HaKadosh, that Hashem is involved in every one of those aspects.
An extension of Hashem in a way we're continuing.
Right. So that is the connection of what
other people. I mean, to thank the whole existence. It's not just, don't take it for granted, that's what I'm saying. It's...
Okay. So the Rav Volbi in a second essay is really quoting from right. So he makes two more points on this. This is from an essay later on in the Sefer, from page Shin Lamed Tes and Shin Mem, that the difference between what he's calling emuna and yira, or emuna and yidia. Right. The first step that it was expected of Avimelech is Yediyah, or Yira,
right.
Fear, recognizing that there is such a thing as a creator. And Emunah is the idea of faith, recognizing that Hashem is involved in each and every aspect of our lives. So Yediyah, we don't say, we have a term, Anachnu Maminim B'nei Maminim. Right? You've heard that song? Right? We're Maminim, the sons of Maminim. No one says, Anachnu Yireim B'nei Yireim, or Anachnu Yodim B'nei Yodim. So what's the difference between the two? So Emunah is something that is built upon generation after generation. That stories on the story of Hashem being involved and Hashgacha Pratis, that God being involved in details, all of that is that builds upon each other. That builds towards a greater amount of Emunah, a greater amount of connections with Hashem at every moment. As opposed to the idea of Yudi, idea is yes or no. Yediyah is something that we know or whether we don't know. So that is a distinction between Yediyah and Emunah. So the
Yediyah is
knowledge. Your knowledge. So that's the first thing the Rambam says you need. You have Yediyah. But we have to go on then to further details. So there is a Gemara in Maseches Brachos. So Ezehu ben Olam Haba Zehasomech Geula L'Tfila. One who connects Geula L'Tfila. So what does it mean? Why is that? So we have that halacha. Where does that halacha bear itself out? So whenever we have both in the morning as well as at Maariv, we say Baruch Ata Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, and we head right into Shmoneh Esrei. At night, we don't exactly head right in, but at least during the day, that's the idea of Smicha Geula L'Tfila. That right after we say finish the brachos of Kriya Shema and conclude Baruch Ata Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, I then jump right into to Tfila. So A, we have to just, why is that an ideal? And B, Ezehu ben Olam Haba. Who is a ben Olam Haba, one who does that? Well, why does that get you official Olam Haba status? What does that mean? So he quotes this idea from the... Rav Volpe quotes a piece from Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, or that's really the Tamidei Rabbeinu Yonah, appear on the Rif in Maseches Brachos. Rabbeinu Yonah wrote Shari Tshuva.
Right, which that's, after the attack of Rambam.
It's a famous book, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But he also, there is a, if one looks in the back of the Gemaras, so in most Gemaras there is a Rif, at least the halachic Gemaras, there's a riff, and then there's different commentaries on the riff. So most of the Masechtos, it's either the Nemuka Yosef or the Ran. That is the commentary on the riff. And in Brachos, instead of being the Nemuka Yosef or the Ran, it says Tamidei Rabbeinu Yonah. So it's thought to, you know, we assume that it's from Rabbeinu Yonah, this idea. Okay. So where does it come? So why? What is the importance of being Someich Geula L'Tfila? So he says, "V'od amar mori tam achrim if they shekeshemaskir geulas mitzrayim umispalo miyad umarish buteach v'Hashem betfila." That when you remember geulas mitzrayim and you daven immediately, you are showing that you have bitachun b'Hashem in your tefila, kimin shemavakish shemenu tzrachav, because you are requesting your things. Shemisha inu buteach bo inu mavakish shemenu klum. If you don't really trust in Hashem, you won't ask anything from Him. V'chein nir be'elish shmos rav, and he quotes from a medrash. Fine. The kevan shemazkir achshav osa geula shebatchu avuseinu b'Hashem v'atzilnu ispalam yad. So the fact that right now we mention this geula, that we trust that Hashem saved them and we daven immediately, nitza we find shegam hu b'teach bo shiyana oso k'mishanu liYisrael v'avur shebatchu bo. That just as our forefathers trusted Hashem and Hashem answered him, so too we can trust that Hashem and He'll answer us. With neizem masker osa geula umispal. That's why we do the geula first, and then we do tefillah. The idea being that the geula is what brought yediyas Hashem into the world, knowledge of Hashem into the world. But hopefully that brought more than that. That brought the idea that we recognize that Hashem is involved and is available to save all of the people. Not just that God is going to get us in trouble, but that God can help us out a lot as well.
Okay.
Not just the idea, meaning that Yirei Elokim, but that God can help us out as well. So therefore we take that recognition, right, of Geula, that God, with the ability to be Goel, all of Israel, God also has the ability to bring a Geula to us personally as well. So that is why you're a Ben Olam Haba, because you're taking the worldly God and recognizing that Hashem has the ability to help me personally as well. So while Avram was telling Avimelech, I can't trust you because you're not even a Yirei Elokim. So he's saying you don't even achieve the baseline. You don't even get to first base of having just an idea that there needs to be a morality. Right. So us, it's incumbent upon us not just to attempt to achieve Yediyah. When God is describing the Jewish people, God doesn't use the idea of Yediyah, right? When it says the Jews left Mitzrayim, it says Vayedu b'Hashem, they knew Hashem. When Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, what did it say? Vayaminu b'Hashem uvoshanto. They had emuna in Hashem. What is the difference between Yediyah and emuna? Yediyah is the recognition of a moral imperative. Emuna is the idea, must be much beyond that, which is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is involved in their everyday lives.
Who left the first time? Had Yediyah?
When it describes the Mitzrim, the Jews left, it describes the Egyptians as having Yediyah Hashem.
Okay.
It says Vayedu. They will know. Hashem promises they will know God. And when they leave, it says that they knew God. They knew. They knew that there was such a thing as morality. But they didn't necessarily recognize the intense relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with people. That's what Bnei Yisrael had. They had the idea of Vayaminu b'Hashem, Moshe Abdel, a faith in Hashem.
That's why they would go into the desert.
Sure. Yeah. Stop here.